Welcome back to The Instance, everybody. This is The Instance for Friday, July 30th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Garrett Weinzierl, back from vacation. Garrett, welcome back.
Hey, Scott.
It's nice to have you back. And joining us all the way from, I'm not sure actually what country he's in today, but Patrick Beja, once again in the house. Patrick, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I wish this coming together of the three of us was at a better time, and I wish it was more, I don't know, smiles and happiness. But it's not, and we won't pretend it isn't. We're still sort of, soaking in it, everybody. It's still still kind of gnarly and fresh and raw and all this blizzard stuff. You've heard two episodes of the Instance that tried to address much of what's going on in and around this. And I'm very proud of the previous episode, and I'm so glad that Jules took some time to be here, that we could get an actual female perspective. I actually did hunt around for some possible voices today, but was either turned down or people were out of town and wasn't able to make it happen. So instead, you're getting three dudes again. But we're
Give a shout out to that episode you did with Jules, because I just listened to it yesterday and it's really good. So if you haven't heard it yet, like maybe just because you're like, oh, it's a bonus episode, I'll get to it eventually. It's a good one.
Yeah, it felt important, and also it felt like I needed to. Well, and I've even had some people say, "Well, Scott, that episode with her was great, but you still talk a lot," they said, and they're
that,
right.
That was going to be what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I talk a lot. I do. I tend to make things.
It was interesting because it was your and I'm interrupting you.
So, no, go ahead. You know, go ahead. Go ahead.
Please talk a lot to tell Scott how he talks a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I might be doing this a lot today, but I haven't had a chance to talk on any show about this. You both have done multiple shows on the topic.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you haven't yet, listeners, go listen to The Angry Chicken. The latest episode was really good, especially because Joss was on it as usual.
Yeah, she really really laid it out.
It was really, it's the I'm getting into it already, sorry, but the one with Jules was really interesting because it was really Scott working through realizations that I think a lot of us need to have at different various levels. And yeah, I was listening to it and I was like, all right, it's an hour long episode. Scott talks to for about 15 minutes.
I tend to fill air. It's what I do, and it's a skill in some ways, and it's in that case maybe a little too much. But yeah, you guys were watching me work through a thing, and so far the response has been, we needed to hear that because I'm also working through this thing, and I'm trying to understand it better. I'm trying to be more active. I'm trying to learn what I can do and be, and less about just talking about it. Maybe more what I can do about it. And on that level, I think it succeeded. I'm proud of it. I think that Jules was amazing. And I think she also helped magnify the point that this show, and really my network, could use more female voices. I think that what I do has always been, or it's always tried to be, a safe and friendly place for women. And I think largely succeeds in a lot of that, but there's room for more. And so that's what that was about. And so if it came off to some that, oh, this is Scott's therapy session, I apologize. That's not what I meant it to be. And certainly, I did get a lot out of it. So sure, I guess I'm getting a little bit of a selfish take on it, but it wouldn't have happened without Jules and without her incredible perspective. And I am ever grateful that she took the time to do that. So anyway, if you haven't heard it, maybe go listen to it.
Some people might have been expecting, me included, okay, let's give women a voice. And I don't know if this is something that necessarily needs to happen right now, this second. That's a longer thing, right? It's a longer term thing. And so I came to it expecting that. And what I got instead was a deeper therapy session from Scott, which I think every man in the world might benefit from the kind of introspection and maybe having people tell us these kind of things is positive in the end.
Yeah.
But
it reminded me a lot of multiple conversations I've had over the years working with Joss over on the Angry Chicken.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's a lot I heard in that episode that like kind of hit me like, oh God, I went through this at one point or another.
Yeah, same.
But
and it was really yeah, those and two,
I,
by the way.
Like again too, it's like I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I'm like it also like sucks to realize that like it has fallen on the women in our lives and in our community to call us out, and like and I hate that responsibility has fallen on them like consistently.
Yeah,
it's like I don't know about you, but I've had to learn a lot of lessons over the years.
No, it's the first people to reach out to me when I you know. Well, we don't have to get into all those details again, but back in the, you know, with the big Terpster mess, which was another time the three of us were here talking about a thing that was really hard. It was Jocelyn and Joss and, Jules and other people in our community, women in our community who reached out to me and said, this is a great start, but you're kind of missing some of the points. And they were right. They were totally right. This is their voices again. This is them reaching out to me after, I don't know, the instance episode with John saying, well, here we go. It's you and your white friends, your white boyfriends talking about stuff that we would really have a lot to say about and we're nowhere near it. And me having to analyze why I do that. So we probably don't need to make this whole episode about Scott and his freaking learning experience. I don't think that's really where the problem lies. However, I am committed and want to do more. I've already stated this a bunch of times and I really mean it. Later in the show, we'll talk about some actual action that I think I can do. The hard part has actually been trying to find ways that you can frickin' do something without it just being performative or words or whatever, like actual rubber meets the road kind of progress. And I think I have an idea on that. We'll talk about that later. And it's also a way that the audience can participate as well. So we'll get to all that in a bit. But we should probably catch this up just a tiny bit on where things are at. The walkout did happen, and it was quite a show of solidarity. There was a lot of people that literally went to Blizzard. It's an important distinction to make, by the way, because they haven't had people in the campus working outside of, you know, certain systems roles and that sort of thing since the pandemic happened. So this isn't people walking out of the campus. This is people all driving and walking and riding to campus from their places of work, which right now is home. And having that walkout slash protest happen there on the campus, and it was quite the sight to see. One of the interesting takeaways for me was they had a picture of everybody who showed up, and they had signs and all this stuff, and it was a huge swath of people. Like I think it ended up being more than they expected. It was certainly more than I thought I was going to see, and that was with a bunch of people who did not want to be photographed, who wanted to be not in the main shot. They wanted to be there and support, but they didn't want to be part of the photo, which is a totally fine thing not to want to be. And so we weren't even seeing the full breadth of the people there. That gave me a lot of heart, hearing that Ubisoft, having their own problems, as you're well aware, Patrick, a big, big stinker over there in France. We've talked about this before when we were covering E3 year before last. A bunch of those employees in solidarity, kind of stood with the Blizzard folks in a remote way to, you know, say, yeah, we're feeling the same. They're also making new demands of their employers and of their leadership. All of the things are seeming like positive things, but yeah, go ahead.
The thing to note about the Ubisoft thing is, and I don't know, you know, I really don't want to rehash everything you guys have been saying. So I'll do my best not to do that. Even a little bit later, I'll go a bit more free form. But I really try not to do that. The thing about the Ubisoft event is that, or letter of support, is that the scandal, the second in the list of big scandals that we had in the past 2 years after Riot, was followed by the kind of thing that we, like, I think largely men, think are what should happen, meaning there was an investigation and people were fired. Like there was actual action that followed the scandal. And we can discuss whether or not the CEO, Yves Guillemot, should have been part of that big sweep. But there were people who were according to the victims, who they thought would never get the boot, who did get the boot. And that seemed like, at least to me, okay, this is progress. Things are happening. And yeah. I guess in a way it is progress, because that kind of thing was a little bit unexpected, even though it's what should have happened. But in their letter, they're saying, yes, these people were fired, but the fundamental culture of the company hasn't really changed, or we haven't really seen it yet. I think there's a little bit of contrast with what's happened at Riot. Again, according to people within the company, Cecilia D'Anastasio did a follow-up on the, you know, revelations a year later. And even though there are still big question marks about Riot, the employees seem to be saying, you know, things are actually better. I don't know, you know, we don't know. But at Ubisoft, it seemed like what they were saying was there's a lot of, you know, surface stuff, but deep within the company, things aren't really changing. And that was a bit disheartening, but I think it's worth noting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then maybe that is a good transition to one of my biggest overall feelings on this entire thing, is that the Blizzard mess does feel like a moment. And by that, I mean, there's a lot of factors involved here, like the love and devotion that Blizzard gets for their games, their perceived culture and their past is huge. I don't know any other developer that has enjoyed that much of that kind of player culture than Blizzard has, as a game developer. So when people hear things like Ubisoft's having a harassment scandal, or Blizzard's having a massive harassment scandal, for some reason, it feels so much worse at Blizzard. I don't want to discount how bad it is everywhere, because I know it is, and it's terrible everywhere. But our perceptions are worse because we held them to a standard, and they did not live up to that standard at all. And as a result of that, I'm just to make my point. This feels like, I don't like to use the term George Floyd moment. I don't like how people apply that to everything, but this feels like a tipping point moment. Potentially it does. And a lot has to happen for me to believe that really truly means there's a tipping point here where Blizzard could really not only right their own ship, but this could be a moment for the industry, and then broaden that out to other industries, take it further into tech, anything else where we could see real change. That's what this feels like to me. And I may be too optimistic. I don't know. And that's going to take a lot of time, a lot of healing, a lot of people getting fired, and a lot of stuff still coming out and everything else. But I still feel like this is a tipping point. And I hope I'm not wrong. I hope this is not just another, you know, another one until we get to a worse one. And then a worse one.
I think we're very close to it, so I think it affects us more. Looking at my social circles, like social media circles, a lot of people close to Blizzard are deeply affected. I'm really trying really hard to keep the anger out of what I'm saying. So don't think that I'm not angry, because I really, really am. But people outside of that circle, I don't think are, you know, they've already moved on. And I think there has been steady progress, but I really feel like when the Riot thing happened, a lot of people, at least I thought, oh my God, that's so big. Okay, that's the moment. And then the Ubisoft thing happened, and I thought, oh my God, okay, now the second one in a row, that's the moment. And the Blizzard thing happening, I think Blizzard, I had no illusions about the industry as a whole, but I thought Blizzard was the exception. Right. I think there was this clearly false idea with, you know, Gamergate 2014. Morheim actually said something on stage at BlizzCon that was significant, because no one in the industry was talking about it. And then you have Overwatch, where it's implementing diversity at a moment where it wasn't obvious that this should happen. Gamergate was all about this. So I don't want to, you know, talk about this for too long, but it felt like Blizzard was the exception. And they're so vocal about the diversity that, you know, I thought, okay, Blizzard at least has largely values. And the again, I'm going to say disheartening, the really disheartening thing that I realized when it happened at Blizzard was, I think all the men were shocked and all the women were saying, I guess we don't curse on this show.
You can say whatever you want.
But all the women.
You can say whatever you want. You're fine.
All the women were like, what the fuck did you think was happening? We've been talking about this forever. And including at Blizzard. And there was, you know, one moment that Joss was echoing this in the episode on The Angry Chicken. She was like, it was horrible for, I don't want to, I'm paraphrasing, but she was saying, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time and people are still surprised. And that was a, you know, a shock to me because I confess I hadn't realized it was, it like, it's everywhere. And I don't know how long I can spend on this. I wanted to talk about a lot of things throughout the last 10 days. The one thing I landed on is, if you'll permit me, Scott, I want to talk about responsibility for a little bit.
Go for it.
I want to talk about responsibility, and the anger that I had was towards, of course, the perpetrators, but it was towards, directed at me, at you, Scott, at everyone in every man in the industry and in the communities, because let's, for a second, the example that we've all seen, the 2010 video at BlizzCon. Let's be honest for a second. You know, the woman saying, oh, I wish Sylvanas didn't have a bikini, you know, didn't come out of a Victoria's Secret model catalog, and Afrasiabi saying, oh, which catalog would you like her to come out of? Mm-hmm. 2010, I was working for Blizzard back then, and I guess I was in cubicles doing interviews, so I didn't see it live, but I have said many times on the show, at BlizzCon, I work or do stuff during the day, and then I go back in my hotel room and watch all the panels I can. So I think it's very likely that I saw it. I wouldn't be surprised at all if I saw it. And I'm guessing my reaction at the time was, oh, well, that really sucks. He's an ass. You know, how can he say this? And then, yeah, he's, you know, he's a jerk. And I think I moved on. And now when we see it, it made all of us puke, I think. But back then, let's not pretend we didn't see it. You know, let's not, and maybe some of us didn't see it. Some of us did. It didn't turn into a scandal. It should have, obviously. And, you know, that was before Gamergate and before Me Too. But I'm certain that many of us saw it. And we didn't react in a way that would have been, you know, I don't know, normal. Mm-hmm. When did I talk to Scott about the number of women on his shows, on the instance? Mm-hmm. Was it, like, listeners, when do you think that happened? Was it at that point? Was it maybe during the horrible Gamergate?
Probably.
You know, all the horror then? No, yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. Was it during Me Too? It wasn't.
No.
Was it at the Riot scandal? Was it at the last year's Ubisoft scandal? No, it was last week.
Yeah.
It was last week. I sent a text and I was like, ooh, Scott, you know what? Maybe you should have female representation on your shows. What, like, we're all responsible for this. We're all responsible to various extents. You know, obviously, the perpetrators are the most responsible. The people who covered for them are responsible more than everyone else. But we all have a part in this. All of us, all the men, we have a part in this. We are part of the industry, and us here in the Blizzard community are part of, well, the Blizzard community. Looking back now, you know, and again, all the women are like in disbelief. The women I've seen are in disbelief that we are shocked because
Yeah, but they
all
also,
of them, all they, of the women we know that work at Blizzard right. or that have had interaction with Blizzard, all of them have stories. All of them. Like, yeah. I haven't seen a single person that I know that has had interactions with Blizzard that doesn't have stories.
Patrick,
you know, that hasn't been harassed, that hasn't been. And we interact with them.
Yeah.
You know, we hang out.
Let me just add this. There are stories. My daughters and my wife have stories that I didn't know about. Like, this isn't just Dave. Our friends at Blizzard had stories. My point is, I agree with you 100%. And if I saw that video in 2010, I don't remember it. And if I did see it, I don't remember.
That was my first BlizzCon. I think I was there and I don't remember it.
Yeah. And I'll bet you, if I did see it in 2010, I'd go, ugh, all right, whatever. Move to the next question. That was cringy.
Yeah, exactly.
And left it there.
Exactly. And we've changed since then, of course. Right. But what are we doing now that maybe looking at in 5 or 10 years, we would have the same reaction? Like, again, I'm not going to speak for you guys. Looking back, I've had more than one woman hint at this. Maybe two. Like, hint at the fact that, you know, not just, oh, I've had a bad experience, but, you know, at some point it's going to come out and it's going to be a shit show. And I was like, maybe she had a bad experience. She had a manager who was an asshole or so, a colleague that did something bad. I didn't look further into it. I didn't. And this is in the middle of, again, Me Too, Gamergate, Riot, Ubisoft. How did I not?
You sound like me with Jules the other day.
I think
this was me with Jules the other day. You're basically describing how I was feeling, like almost exactly to the T. That's how I was feeling.
Yeah. And I think what I'm whatever. This isn't like, oh, we should like beat ourselves up and we're so bad and this is horrible. This is not the point of what I'm saying here. What I'm trying to say is we have to take a really hard look at the way we're doing things and the way we're approaching these things, because we're responsible, all of us, again, to various degrees. I think we as members, like, you know, podcasters, influencers, whatever, more than maybe members of the community, mm-hmm. like certainly. But like, it's not entirely the same, but I've seen a few influencers who are like what I call anger mongers, like the people who like to make you angry and who like shit on the games all the time. And I'm not saying whether it's justified or not, but they do it in a very toxic manner. Mm. And someone was saying, one of them, I'm not going to say who, was saying, hey, you know, you really shouldn't harass people and employees because maybe that that's the only, you know, telling them you should quit your job. The company is horrible. Maybe it's they moved across the country and it's their only support system. And yes, of course, it's important for someone like that to say this, a well-known influencer has a voice and they should say that. But not for one second did they stop and try to reflect on, like, look inwards and try to see how the culture of toxicity that they are breeding, and there are a few of them, not everyone, of course, but there are a few of them who are actively toxic and everyone is telling them you're toxic, your community is toxic. Like, there was someone who was saying, oh, this is horrible. And a woman answered him on Twitter and was saying, like, do you remember when you had an interview with me and your community was so shitty I had to stop? And they were like, oh, you can't control Twitch. The point is not to control Twitch when you're streaming that moment. The point is to look at what you're doing and what kind of culture it breeds, right? And I don't mean to harp on those. What I'm trying to say is we all have a part in this, me included, me more than, you know, someone who's just playing the game. But, all right.
Let me tell you how that boils down for me real quick. That, here's the revelation for me. I hope it made it clear when I sort of expressed this with Jules, but I'll say it in this way. I was always, probably quietly, because I'm not one to brag normally, but I was quietly proud that I was at the head of a community
that I thought, well, this doesn't ever happen in here. We're not doing this. Certainly I'm not doing this. So we're good. We're good over here. And that may have been true that for the most part, we were good. But where I went wrong and where I'm trying to fix this now is that's not enough now. That's not enough. It's not enough for me to go, oh, wasn't me. I've never behaved like that. Don't look at me. That's not enough. That basically says, well, go look somewhere else for the problem. And I'm not here to be anyone's ally, and I'm not here to help anyone, or I'm not going to go the extra step to try to do some freaking good in this world. That's what has to change. To me, that's true across the board. If we're talking just community, influencers, podcasters, YouTubers, whatever, we have a responsibility to do more than just the basic decency. If we're being decent people, great. That's great. Good place to start. Happy that you're starting there. That's not the end of it. And that was a rude awakening for me, because it's not the end. I can't just be that guy that says, well, you know, we're good over here. How are you guys doing? I can't be that anymore.
The starkest thing, I think, is the fact that every woman connected to this was like, yeah. And we're like, what? This is happening at Blizzard? Like, this is unconscionable. How did we not know? It's, I don't know. If we want to talk about something a little bit more, it's part of the demands of Blizzard, the employees, and Ubisoft. There are things that I think a lot of people stop at when they wonder, like, there are a lot of things that everyone talks about, you know, say something when you see something and be supportive and believe the victims and all of that. And absolutely. And I think a lot of people say it all the time and absolutely all of that is important. There's one thing which I think is a little bit troubling, and that's shifting. It's the need for unionization. And I'm sorry if you think that's political. I mean, we're talking about deep issues in society, and that's part of it. The consistent thing about unionization I see, especially in the US, is, oh, well, the unions cause problems and we can't go there because, oh, wait, that's too far. And by the way, the firm that Activision Blizzard employed, it's one of the news items, is known for having a like counseling about how to reduce the risk of employees unionizing. And I'm sure they're not the only ones. I'm sure many big law firms do it. This one apparently was hired by Amazon for this, you know, and Amazon is notably horrible about fighting unionization. The reason why unions are important is that unions create collective bargaining, right? That when you are one employee against the company, there's nothing you can do. It's not even David versus Goliath. It's there's nothing you can do. You're one voice against your managers and leaders. Unionization puts all of these voices together so that they have a seat at the table. And we've talked about this before, but and I'm sure everyone knows what unions are. But a lot of people go, oh, but they create more problems, they're anti-business, and that is not the main, like, in some industries, you need unions for employees to be able to say stuff. And let me remind you, if you think that unions stop everything in the business in its tracks, Hollywood is one of the most unionized industry, like, sector in the US, probably the world. They are unionized to the bone. And I think the US movie industry is doing well.
Yeah, so it seems to be doing all right.
Yeah. And unions are what allow companies, like employees, to have their voices heard, their needs, their demands, their concern, to an extent. And I think we're past the time now where we can weigh, you know, the pros and cons. The reason all of this is happening and is that employees aren't heard and HR departments aren't working for the employees. We've seen it multiple times. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, if there's something that maybe we can, that might help. I don't want to speak for the employees or victims, but it seems like changing our mindset about this might be part of it. And I really think it's a big part. Another thing I would really like to see, and I'll stop after that. I'm sorry, Scott.
You're fine. You're totally fine.
Keep going. There are many things we need to discuss. And again, looking inward as well is something that's very important, including for me. But another thing I'd like to see is independent audits. There are a lot of people who were, let's start there. It's a problem across, you've both said that many times, across the industry, across society, right? So I'm not saying Blizzard has to do this and then everything will be fixed. Obviously, it's a problem that is across the entirety of society. But we're talking about video games, the video games industry, and Blizzard specifically now. There are a lot of people who have said, and who were previous leaders who aren't there anymore, who have said that they're sorry, with statements that seem to be the kind of thing that is absolutely necessary, and that it means absolutely nothing until things happen.
Yeah.
Both of those things can be true. And I'm thinking, you know, off the top of my head, people like Mike Morhaime and Chris Metzen, who's, you know, a friend of the show, and I don't know, Rob Pardo and many others, they have said, we're sorry, we're complicit. Well, not Pardo, I haven't heard from Pardo, but Morhaime and Metzen. That's great. That is something we need. What I want to see now is what you're going to do, is what we're going to do, but in this case, it's them, to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Because what we've seen time and time again is that there's this misconception, and I'm including myself in this like mindset. We think that, oh, there's a problem, we're going to fix it. Like there's someone who has a problem, we're going to fix it with the employee. Clearly it didn't happen at Blizzard, so that's, even that is iffy, but we're going to fix that issue specifically and everything's going to be fine, right? What we've seen is that you don't know what's happening in your company. At the very least, you are ignorant. You should know, but you don't. HR doesn't help. So I want to hear from Morhaime and Metzen and the others what they're going to do to make it like physically, geometrically impossible for them to not know. I want outside audits. I want to hear that they're, you know, hiring not a law firm, maybe go talk to, you know, I don't know, Anita Sarkeesian or someone who's an academic that's active in the field, maybe do an independent industry-wide, start an independent industry-wide firm fund to fund this, where people, employees can go talk to them. They investigate, they have full access and direct link to you, the CEO, and they do reports, maybe even public reports. Make it so you cannot ignore what's happening. And because you don't know. We don't know. It's happening. You think you're fixing it. You're not. Why would it be different at Dreamhaven or at, you know, I don't know that War Chief is gonna suffer the same problems. But at a certain point, when your company is big enough, you don't know. And we don't know. It's happened at Riot. It's happened at Ubisoft. It's happened in the worst way at Blizzard, I believe. And it's not even these companies. Like, again, the women who have been coming forward are saying, not only is it not just these companies, not only is it's not just the big companies, it's everywhere. It's the indies, it's the community. Honestly, the communities, but that's maybe a different topic. I want to hear from Metzen and from Morhaime that they are going to have independent organizations auditing their company from the outside and talking to them directly once a month, telling how the things are going. And of course, you're always going to have assholes who abuse their power. You know, I don't think we, in the near future, we can reach zero. But I want to hear, you know, that's my random idea. Maybe it's completely dumb, but I want to hear from them how they're making it impossible for them to ignore it, because they have not ignored it, maybe ignored it, but certainly not been aware of it in the fullest scope that it existed in. At every company we've heard about, And it goes through, you know, representation and diversity in the workplace and all of this, but also, all right, all of this and more. and I think that the takeaway is I really want to convey the fact that we are all part of it. We can't say anymore, oh, it's these people. Oh, it's the leaders. Oh, it's Kotick who takes in that many million dollars. You know, that doesn't, that's not the issue here. Unions can help. Like, we are, it's not just them, it's us, it's all of us. We should have known. It's unconscionable that we didn't know. And if we didn't know, it means we have a part of this responsibility. All of us, you listening now also.
I'd be at the risk of repeating myself, but.
Dude, you made it through that without 17 F words.
Man. Yeah, I'm impressed. You only got the one. Yeah, you only got the one. But here's the thing. Like I said, when I was on here with John while he was guest hosting that day, I said essentially that I can't, from a personal standpoint, which is the only way I can really view the world, I cannot support the company until they do a full transparent cleaning of house. And by transparent, I mean everything you just detailed. It has to be. And if they can, that's where I'm optimistic. If they can do that somehow, and it's going to be, a lot of people are going to go, ah, you think they can after all this? They're never going to, blah, blah. I get it. I get the need to be negative and to take it into the toilet, no matter what angle comes up. But if we really want to see something happen, we have to have a little optimism. And that optimism right now is me saying they have a chance to do this. Certainly Morheim, Metzen, Lightforged, Frost Giant, Pardo and his freaking bonfire company, all of these people have the biggest opportunity to say, all right, we're out of there now. So what are we doing now to change that? What are we doing now to get back to whatever the passion we all had in the 90s was when we first started? Was our company based on frat boy shit? Or was it based on creativity, acknowledgement of everybody, and diversity? Well, decide now how you want to be for the next generation of things you're going to make. Like, be that change you want to be in the world. If they can do that, great. But they have to do the same thing you just said. They have to be 100% transparent about this. It has to be out front all the time. I will never again get Pollyanned into feeling about a video game company the way I felt about Blizzard. It's not going to happen again. That naivete is chipped away and thrown in the garbage. Done. So well done, Blizzard. You effed me up that way. And a lot of people. But now that we're all seeing this for clearly what it is, everything Patrick said is correct. You can get all worked up. Some in the chat room are already doing it. You can get all worked up about unions and the political issues of unions. And unions aren't perfect. They have their own set of issues.
Of course.
But this industry needs something. It needs something that is in favor of the group that gets fired after a successful launch for no reason. That, and this isn't even talking about this, these abuses. Like, there's a whole myriad of issues in this industry that deal with.
Can I say something that might be slightly unpopular?
Please do. Yes.
Okay. So, not really a union guy. I tend to view them as punishment for companies that can't deal with their own shit. So that said, I do kind of think Blizzard deserves to be punished with unionization.
That's a fair point. Nobody would ask for unionization if they all got it right. Right. If they got it right, we wouldn't need it. So you're not wrong.
That's the thing. The specific thing you said, punishment for companies that can't deal with their own shit, I would dispute that. But again, Riot, Ubisoft, Blizzard, every single woman you know working in this industry saying the companies aren't dealing with their own shit. This is happening all the time everywhere, and you don't even know about it. Like, this... Yeah. I'll say something positive if you want.
No, I like, hey, you be you, Patrick. So what do you got? You lay it out. You're fine. Whatever you want.
I think this is a decades long process that started decades ago. Maybe 15 years ago. I don't think we're here without Gamergate, without Me Too. I think the reaction to these past few scandals has been more and more in the holy shit, this is unbelievable and unacceptable. So it's moving in the right direction. but I am, you know, it's moving in the right direction on the surface, right? As every woman we've heard has said, there's a lot of surface, you know, stuff that's happening, but deep down, the culture is still rotten. So I think awareness is where it begins. And I hope that we can keep moving in that direction, but it doesn't happen if, you know, I'm already starting to see people moving on. And it's normal. You can't stay angry at something 24 hours a day forever. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of seeing people moving on. And that's why I'm saying I would like everyone to think about it now and to reflect a little bit. And I would like to see something that makes it everything I just said. I'm going negative again. I think it's moving in the right direction. It's incredibly slow. And it's incredibly frustrating, but maybe it's going in the right direction. I think
I'm with you. I think all of the movements that you mentioned have absolutely played a role, because the sentiment, and I think I've talked about this so many places, I think I've mentioned this everywhere. The sentiment I've seen time and time again this week that has really seemed like the light is that it's good that this is out there. And that's what Gamergate brought up. And that's what Me Too brought up. Like, got that shit out there. It got people feeling comfortable is probably the wrong word.
Sunshine, but, baby. Get some sunshine.
But
on
like
it.
They yeah. can actually talk about it and yeah. be listened to. And sadly this week I've seen a lot of people not listening. But I've definitely seen a lot more that are.
Because
it's the kind of stuff like for every
vast majority
for everyone in our community. We've brought up Jules and Jocelyn a lot today because they're in our community, mm-hmm. and we've spoken with them very recently about all of this. There are just as many women who do not want to talk about this because they're sick of talking about this, and they don't feel like it's their job. And frankly, it isn't. I think it's sad that the responsibility falls on them to have to relive trauma and hardships and abuse. Mm.
But I couldn't agree with that more, dude. I could not agree more.
It is out there now. Yeah. So I'm with you, Patrick. I just wanted to get that up. Like, I think you're dead on the money that while it is difficult for us to accept these truths, at least they're out there. And so what if it's hard for me to deal with it? You know why it's hard for me to deal with it? Because I haven't had to live through it.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And I would say as the instance as a show, and I said this 2 weeks ago, I would have ended it if we hadn't just discussed our 2.0 plans and how we want to take the show in a different direction and pull away from WoW and Blizzard as our focus. Had we not done that, the show is ending. It was going to end that weekend. I would have been my final episode, and it would have sucked because Garrett was on vacation and Patrick was I don't know where, and it would have been me and John, the guest host, ending the show.
I would have told you, screw you, wait till I get back.
I was so angry, dude. I mean, I was so mad.
Put this thing on the ground together.
I was seeing red. But my point is, let me get my point out. The point of that is the show will continue on and it will do what it wants to do and where it wants to go. But this is now a permanent part of the process. This is now no longer, hey, what's that game doing and how are the patch notes? Hey, what's going on with Final Fantasy's boost in playership? Like, it's those things, and it's us deep diving. But this will always be a part of the discussion, and I don't mean every episode is going to have a big, huge thing about abuse and how to stop it. That's not what I mean. What I mean is we will have things to do in the future and now, as starting today, which I'll get to in a minute. We're going to have opportunities to actually do stuff in this space. We're going to make it a priority for the show, a cause for the show to do more for the women in our lives and not just be bystanders who maybe didn't do anything or aren't directly involved. But now we're going to go a little further and see if we can actually help people. That will be ongoing. We'll get more female voice on the show. That is a promise from me, and you can hold me to it. And that may mean a third chair who's a woman. It may mean that if I can't get someone to commit to that, I'll work on trying to. But if I can't, then we'll find other ways to get more female perspective on the show. That's happening regardless of any of this. And when these issues arise, let's say 6 months down the road, something comes up and we find out that
I don't use actual names, but such and such developer is now having their own version of this nightmare. We're going to cover it. We're going to hold people's feet to the fire. We're going to shine whatever sunlight we can on it, and we're going to be proactive about it in the same way. That stuff is just now part of the discussion. And it doesn't mean that there isn't some light down the road where we get to a place where this doesn't have to happen anymore. It probably won't be our lifetimes, but until it is, that's just how it's going to be. So think of it this way. It was either the show is going our way, or that's what we're going to do to tweak it. And that's what we're going to do to tweak it. All right, Patrick, you were saying something and I cut you off.
No, just, you know, maybe the most important thing in all of this. I had ideas about, oh, I should do this. And, oh, this is like, for example, I thought maybe you should ask women how they're doing and, you know, ask if you were an asshole or whatever, like you don't realize. And
oh boy, someone today, we're both very close with has some strong opinions about being asked those questions, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, exactly. And that's where I'm getting at. And I've read from multiple people today saying, you know, when you do this, you're just forcing people to relive their trauma, right? And so my point is not just this, but in general, you know, everyone says, oh, listen to women. It's not just listen to the victims when they're talking about how they've been abused, although, of course, that you should definitely do. It's also, if you're on Twitter, follow lots of women that you wouldn't have otherwise, just, you know, and we're talking about women, people of color and people with disabilities, and maybe you wouldn't naturally do it, but just have that part of your life so that you're not as clueless as, and you know, obviously I've been following women and all of this, but we have to integrate that into our lives, because as proactive as I thought I was being, there was a lot of things that I didn't, that never came up and that I would have had the wrong reaction with. So bottom line, I'm talking about my own experience. If you're on Twitter, follow women on Twitter.
Yeah,
follow people of color. Follow, you know, that's, and like people that you wouldn't necessarily, there are tons of awesome, you know, developers, streamers, artists, all of that. And it sounds dumb. You know, it sounds really dumb when you say it like that, like, oh, follow women on Twitter. Like, I never thought of that before. I assure you it isn't that dumb, because the way you think things are, it's been made very clear, we're wrong.
Yeah.
And we don't understand the experiences. We don't understand the reactions. We don't. All right, I'm done. Sorry.
I had a really interesting conversation with a friend, a female friend, who's, I'm not going to use names because they didn't ask for this and I'm not going to put their name out there, but we had this long conversation. One of her big pet peeves was this. On the internet especially, somebody will say, well, this is all easy to say, but, you know, if you want all this equal whatever, but half your, as if they're some club and they had a meeting about this, half of you are on TikTok in your bras, just trying to get men to ogle at you.
Oh, dude, I got that stupid email.
I know.
I got the same email from the same. Oh my God.
It's probably the same guy.
Screamed to Hat and Jocelyn about this, because it came into the Angry Chicken inbox.
Yeah. And here's what I would say. I would say to those people, I would say to the guy that sent me an email that said, get woke, go broke. I would say to this other dude who did a big long Reddit diatribe about how we've just fallen into the feminist trap, all this stuff. You all can get the F out of here. I don't want you here, and I don't care if you listen. So F off, take the next plane to wherever you want to go, and sit in your own shit. I'm not interested. Don't come here. You're not part of this community, and I don't give a shit if you disagree with me or listen to this show ever again. I don't care if I ever see a penny from you, from anything, ever. I don't care. So just F off. All right. I've said my part about those guys. You know who you are. So stop. Just stop. No more emails. No more whatever. If you're so awesome, go spend your awesome time doing whatever awesome thing you're doing, because this isn't it, you dicks. All right.
I'm like,
it pisses me off so bad.
You reminded me of the existence of that. I want to be very clear. I've covered this on all my shows this week, and the vast majority of everyone that's written in has been great.
Vast.
A lot of people willing to listen.
Huge.
A lot of people feeling like they're ready to go out there and try and make their little corner of the internet, their little corner of whatever community or communities they are part of, a better place.
Totally agree.
But, there are a few of them. There are a few of them where I'm like ready to go. I haven't wanted to fight someone since like high school, but I kind of want to fight some of you.
I know. You have that feeling. Like,
and you know, that's
fisticuff it and let's go, you know?
That's also part of what a lot of women and Blizzard employees have been saying. Like when you mentioned stopping the show, Scott, they've been saying, you know, if all the good people, I'm using quotes because, you know, that's what they've been saying. If all the good people leave, we're left with all the assholes.
Yeah.
So we have to, you know, we have to stay here and try to be good people. It's not as easy as, you know, stop streaming and stop covering their games, because then you also put all of these people who don't have healthcare out of a job. That kind of thing.
Yeah. So, for the record, I am really glad I didn't do that. Kind of when you're in a blind rage, it's kind of hard to make decisions that are the best quality or whatever, but I'm really glad I didn't. And I've learned more in the last week and a half, and I feel like I've learned in almost a lifetime. And it's been really good for me in lots of ways. It's made me think of everything from my immediate family in a little bit different ways to all the great women I work with. It's made me realize that I've taken them for granted. I've just taken it for granted. These amazing women in our community that just are always there and they're always awesome and they're never a problem. Like, it's not like they're a problematic part of a community. A lot of communities have issues. They just are never a problem. And I've just let it. Oh, look at that. Look at us over here. We're the safe place for women. Isn't that great? It is. It's just not enough. So I mean, again, repeating myself, and I've done it for 4 shows, but
yeah, we're running in circles.
It's okay. In some ways, it's okay because, you know, look, this is how you deal with stuff. Some of this is cyclical. You got to go through it in your head.
Again, go back, listen to the previous episode, listen to Jules talk about the fear of being told you're just placating tokenism or signal virtuing, because if that didn't hit home for me, because I've had those worries before, I don't. And at this point, I'm just like, F it. I don't care anymore.
Also, I don't care if somebody pipes in on this episode and says, you guys, you're all virtue signaling or you're all whatever.
Send it.
I don't care. B, the main thing is I don't want people just to hear what I have to say anymore. Okay. I want what to matter is what I do. And I don't care if you see it or not. So I'm going to do things that I hope make a difference. And I'm going to listen to the women around me to make sure I am doing things that help them directly. And if that's a problem for somebody, go take a shit. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to try my best, and I'm going to probably fail here and there, and I'm going to have to pick myself up and try again. I'm willing to do that, but I don't care what you think I'm doing. I'm going to do it, and I'll do what I'm going to do. You go do what you're going to do. Just go.
And there, you know, the virtue signaling thing, I've seen a little bit of that as well.
There's always here and there. Yeah.
And one of my instincts was definitely to virtue signal. would that have been a really bad thing to do?
Yeah.
I hope that's not what we're doing here. If it is, I hope many women let us know that. Well, non-men, basically. That's who I want to hear from. Men, as I think I've made clear, I don't really trust us anymore. But I would be happy to hear what other people have to say about this. And this is what, you know, the brilliant ideas that everyone has about how to handle things. We should not trust ourselves too much. And you know, listen to the actual people who, so basically if someone thinks we're virtue signaling or we're doing this or that, let us know. And I really hope that's not what we're doing.
You can let Patrick know.
I've seen
know.
Some. I've definitely seen
some. you can let Patrick know. I frankly am not interested.
Yeah. Well, I think he more means like if and here's the other thing.
My point is, yeah. I want women to let us know if you
and
know,
I don't even like that like, so much, because I know what you mean, but I don't like the idea that, well, it's now it's on you guys to let us know. Hey, women, let us know.
Yes, of course. That's not what I mean.
I know that. But see, this has been part of, and that's what I'm saying. I know you don't mean that, and I don't either when I say it. But I'm learning what things sound like more and more. And even when I hear that, I'm starting to go, yeah, that's kind of, now we're putting it back on them in a weird way. So, again, it's not, there's no ill intention from any of us here. I know that. And I know you guys enough. I'm close enough to you guys to, I think I know your hearts and I know who I am, and I can, you know, people can believe me or not, but it's what we do beyond that that's going to matter moving forward. And I just want stuff to stick. I don't want any more talk about it. Because that's just all that is. And, you know, I'm trying to decide whether I should be heartened by Morheim's follow-up, which was he put out a statement, and it's really empty without any action. He's recently put out another saying, he basically said, I promise you I will be part of the fix for this. Now, that could mean something substantial. That could mean him taking many, many millions of dollars and putting it toward rectifying this mess or making real change in the industry, being a true influence in that way. Or it could be empty words again. I don't know. But I am willing to take, I'm going to try to be more willing to give the benefit of the doubt where good intention is expressed. And that is one thing I want people to be careful of. It's easy for us to just assume the worst about everybody. And when they say they're going to try to do something, immediately just go, whatever, that is what you'd say. Maybe we need to not do that as much either. Like, at least give people a chance. Give them the support they need to make a change. And if they don't and they let us down, well, then they do. And then it is what it is. But we got to approach this with like more, I don't know, just a better, we got to have a better freaking.
I mean, the ultimate goal is not to burn down the video games industry. The goal is to make it better, right? The goal is to fix it.
Yeah, well said.
I think that's a good, and I've seen comments like, raise Blizzard to the ground, like fire everyone. And I'm sure a lot of people need to be fired, but the goal is to make it maybe the at some point in the deep, maybe it's too early for this, but maybe in 5, 10, 20 years, the industry could be what we thought Blizzard was. Maybe what we have to try and do. Right.
Yeah.
I was talking about this when I saw that, all of Afrasiabi references are being removed from WoW, that it's like, this is not some magical fix. The issues that are being raised this week are the type of thing that's going to take a long time to change.
Yeah.
Step by step, you know, decision by decision. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I've kind of ended this week, is like, I think we're all sitting here. We wish that there was one big decision, one big action that could be taken that would make this right. And the sad truth,
it kind of doesn't exist. Yeah, it's very nuanced.
It is societal, and I know it's such a freaking buzzword. It's been thrown around a million times this week, but it really is. It is truly societal.
It is. It also tends to be way more nuanced in context and complex than people ever give any of this stuff credit for. And it doesn't excuse anything. It just means it's harder. It means it's more difficult. It's more complicated. So we have to take it as the complicated mess it is and do what we can from our angle, and everybody else, whatever position they're in, do the same and work for a better thing. But I also think it's bad for us. So I was really torn on that WoW decision where they went and stripped all that, the Alex stuff out of there. And here's why.
Well, they can't leave it in. They just can't.
Exactly. It's so impossible. This is my whole point. If they would have done that quietly and really meant to do it, like, we want these out of here, but we don't want to look like we're being, you know, we don't want people to think that this is a real solution, so we're not going to say anything publicly. Let's just strip all this shit out and get that guy out of here once and for all. If they'd have done that, they'd have had a ton of heat. People saying, oh, look at him quietly sweeping away the Alex Afrasiabi business.
Well, they quietly fired the monster.
Well, they did. But my point is, like, they were kind of screwed whatever they said. If they
No, I agree. I'm just adding on to that. Like, they did quietly remove the perpetrator listed in the actual lawsuit.
Yeah, you know, you're
so
right.
I'm with
you're
you.
Right. You're right. And that's my whole point. Like, they're either hosed if they do or hosed if they don't. In retrospect, with things like them taking out references in the game, if they announce it, everyone says, what a lame, toothless method of doing anything good. And if they don't say anything, what a lame thing to sweep under the rug while no one's looking. Like, either way, they're screwed on that. So I'm torn on that. Like, part of me is like, yeah, it's not enough. But part of me is like, well, it's something. So, okay, do that one little bit. Cool. What about these little bits? What about these little bits? And by the way, what they were doing is interesting in another aspect of this, which, and Patrick, maybe you can speak to this coming from your PR background, but like the WoW team making that decision and doing that in what looks like direct conflict of the statements of Activision Blizzard and their lawyers is kind of rebellious in its own way. It's not full rebellion, but it's the WoW team going, yeah, we're going to do some shit and we're not going to talk to management about it. And we think it's important to get this stuff out of here. Like,
well, you don't know if they didn't talk to management.
I don't know. We have no idea. I don't know. You're right.
It certainly feels like there was a level of, I guess, rebellion from employees. I'll say this, that I didn't expect. It felt like, especially with that horrendous statement that Activision Blizzard put out, you know, that Fran Townsend.
I think that's what did like, it, frankly.
I think so, too. It was like, I'm not as close to those communities, but I don't think it happened as much with Riot. People were very angry, or with Ubisoft. People were super angry, but here it was
Riot had a walkout.
Yeah,
of course. But it felt, maybe it's because I know more Blizzard people and it was more visible to me, but it felt like the employees of the company were even more like, we've had it, like, F all of you. And maybe that statement contradicts that theory, but maybe the reason people have been leaving in the past 3 years isn't because they, you know, Activision was swooping in and changing the artistic direction of the company. Maybe it was because Kotick saw this and he was like, holy shit, get all of these people out of my company. Maybe. I don't think that's what happened.
I find that unlikely.
Yeah, I find it unlikely as well.
There's still a lot of questions, right? Like, yeah, the Kotick letter, whatever. Maybe you think it's nice. Maybe you think you it isn't, but it's like...
I mean, the Kotick letter is completely...
So how much do you... My question is, how much do you really believe any, like, hey, Kotick, yeah, how much weight is there behind this? Because they're still going to probably fight this in court.
Mm-hmm. I think the best case scenario there is let's fix it as painlessly as we can for the company, of course. And that comes back to what we've been saying earlier, which is, if you fix these tiny issues and you go back to the status quo of before. Like, you can't fix the culture by just addressing the issues when they're brought to you, because there are so many other issues that aren't brought to you, and the general, like, day-to-day harassment that people have to deal with. So I don't see how something being handled internally that has never worked before can significantly improve things. Although, the reporting from the journalist that broke the story about Riot a year later said things have improved. And you can only trust this, obviously not from management, you can only trust this from the people and from independent journalists, of which we have many who are great in the gaming industry, in spite of what some, you know, of the toxic crowd would have you believe. They will be the ones who will let us know if things are better.
Yeah.
They will hopefully report on these things and get testimony from, you know, people who still work there in a year or two or five and tell us, okay, things are like this, like that. There are still issues. This is, you know, that's how we'll know. We won't know because Kotick or whoever says, we fixed it, we fired three people, and now things are good. Or even, you know, we fired 50 people. That, we don't know if that will be enough, because the culture, as we've seen from the Ubisoft letter, is the real issue. And you can't just expect to fix that by just fixing the things that are brought to you.
Yeah, and the words aren't going to do it. The actions will. And the actions, the result of those actions, we won't know if those did what it was supposed to do until those affected most by those actions say whether it did. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, don't get it in your head when you hear somebody at a place of, this is a real lesson. Like, it's just a logical one to me. If a woman says, I was abused or harassed by this person, and here's some specifics, even stuff called out in the suit, this immediate thing of like, well, how do we know she's not lying?
Here's how I know. Nobody does this to themselves ever. Why would you? Why would you do this to yourself? Why would you put yourself in a position of just utter, complete ridicule, death threats, and all the other mess that comes with this by telling your story? They are incredibly brave, and they are braver than I'll ever be. I sit here in my easy to sit here cis white body going, yeah, stuff doesn't really affect me much. They did the bravest thing possible. And I'm actually, given how long this has been at play, I'm not surprised it took this long, because that image we had of Blizzard was also an image that the company worked really hard to maintain. And I think they did it with a bit of an iron thumb in retrospect. I think that what I used to perceive as like clamped down on PR and, well, we don't know if we want to interview that guy because he can't talk about what he's working on, or all this like nervousness around saying anything out of the company line at that company. It makes me think that they were so focused on carefully controlling that Blizzard was the Blizzard we all thought it was, that these are consequences of that kind of, everyone shut up, be quiet, you can't say that. Oh, there's a problem? Shh, keep that down. Let Faraz Arabi go. He's a nightmare, and he hasn't been for a long time. But don't say anything. Just fire him and get him out of here. No one will notice. Like, that feels like what I was being fed, and I didn't know it. I could be wrong.
As someone who worked in PR at Blizzard, just a couple of things. I will preempt emails about what you just said. You know, if there's one woman that – there have been cases where one woman – came forward saying something about the man or, you know, whatever, harassment, and it turned out it wasn't true. Those are obviously the exception.
They exist.
And yeah, when that happens, when there's one woman that comes forward, you should believe them and let the, you know, investigation go through, and then maybe, you know, it's a very different case when it's one person, and still then you should believe them. But this is not that. Right. This is every woman we know, and everyone, like, it's dozens, and it's not something they do for fun, as you said, Scott. Like, it's trauma. Anyway, so
there's nothing's beneficial for them by doing this. They don't get anything. Even that person that, if there's a person on the outlier who exaggerates it because they're mad about getting demoted or whatever their other, you know, whatever that those out there cases are, there's still just a little something there. There's always something. And so just
I also want to talk about EU for just a second, because I work in PR in the EU, in the EU offices. And when it first happened, I was like, oh my, you know, go back to my Twitter feed. I was in complete shock. And my first reaction was, again, showing you how much I don't know. Oh, but, you know, in the EU, we had so many women in the staff and women in management positions. And, you know, thank God it didn't happen there. And then I was like, wait a second. Like, maybe I should ask. And I emailed a couple of people. And they were like, I don't think it was as bad as it was in Irvine, because that was probably the worst of anything we've heard. And there was some horrendous stuff in other scandals as well. But there was harassment, like not just one instance. There was harassment in where I worked as well. You know, it was, and I was like, my initial reaction was, "Phew! Oh, in the EU we had so many like different people and genders and ethnicities and like from different countries. It was so diverse, but yeah, it still happened there."
Yeah.
Regarding the PR control, though, Afrasiabi was in interviews all the time. It wasn't like Blizzard was hiding them or like, I think that's the worst part of it. It's that it's all happening under the you know, the surface, and they think they're untouchable. Someone like Afrasiabi was probably thinking, if you go ask him, he would probably go like, oh, they're, I don't want to speculate on what he would say.
Apparently he would ask, do you know who I am?
Yeah, he would do that a lot. Probably. You know, I can tell you, I mean, this is a, I didn't think I'd ever tell this story because I didn't think it ever mattered. I thought it was just me being weird. I'll tell you this story real quick. 2018, I'm hosting the Q&A. We're backstage. Ian's back there. John Hite's back there. Alex Afrasarabi is part of the panel. He's back there as well. Everyone's talking. Everybody except Alex are joking with each other, laughing, talking about, you know, makeup or whatever, because we were getting makeup on. And all this stuff was going on. It was a camaraderie there that was happening with everybody except for him. It's still speculation on my part, but they all seemed really annoyed with him and nobody would look at him and he wouldn't look at them. And when you got on stage, everyone all smiles and acting like, hey, it's all of us talking about this stuff or whatever. But I was struck by it. I remember going, why is this so weird? There was just a real weird vibe back there. And again, I'm nervous. I'm about to step on stage with all these people and I didn't know kind of how to feel or whatever and all of that. But I remember having that feeling and he wasn't really interested in talking to me either. But everybody else was super friendly. I couldn't figure it out. My guess is they were probably well down the road with, you know, his behavior and everybody knowing it was an open secret and nobody feeling empowered to do or say anything, especially the women affected. And now everything I think of in the past is colored by this. This is my own problem, but I think of all these things that, you know, you witness, Morheim coming out on stage and looking all nervous because Jab was about to say, you know, they were supposed to show a big logo and a thanks for him being CEO. And there he gestures to the crowd and says, you did all this. And I remember Morheim with the worst face on going, what do you mean? Did what? What did I do? Like, just did not feel comfortable up there. You can find this on YouTube. That's colored different now, given this context, because what I see now is a guy who can't wait to get the F out of there and probably is culpable. Not probably, is. He admits it himself. He's culpable in bad leadership. He let this stuff happen on his watch. And it's hard. It's hard. It's really hard, I guess is what I'm saying. So I'm not asking for sympathy for me, for Patrick, for Garrett. Forget about us. I just wanted to share that because I think that was a telling moment that I didn't see it for what it was. I look back now and I think, oh, they didn't like him. Something was up. Something was dirty. And even if that's not true, I can't help but feel it. I don't know what else to think about.
I would caution too against focusing too hard on the worst offenders like Afrasiabi, because I think that's how we end up being surprised down the road. Because there's so many other stories that have come forward that are about so much more subtle sexist behavior. And like I said, these are the types of things that the lessons I feel that I've had to learn, where I've been like called on my shit by my female friends and coworkers, where you don't know unless someone calls you on it. But like I said, again, it's like I think it's really, really easy to get lost focusing on, oh, we've got this monster. And so like if something happens to Afrasiabi where he gets convicted or whatever, that's not a magic. It's over. We did it, everybody. The change we want is going to take time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no easy answer right now.
Mm. Go ahead. I was at the DNC party in Paris in 2008 for the election of Obama.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I think a lot of people back then, probably mostly
Patrick,
white.
Patrick, could you like anger a certain segment of political believers any more on this episode? You're talking about partying for Obama, unions. I think
the people who would be angered by this are people who have stopped listening anyway.
I know. I'm sorry. This has been a very serious episode. I just need to tease you about something. Yeah, I apologize.
It's fine.
The point is not about Obama. The point is about us. I think a lot of people felt, oh, there's a black president in the U.S. We fixed racism, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and that's
boy. Bad news for you.
Yes, exactly. And I think, like, you're right, Garrett. Focusing on those individual stories gets us into the feeling that we've done something about it when we can't know when it's fixed. Like the people who are the prime recipients of these issues will let us know. Yeah. And until then, you know, let's understand how we're all responsible.
Right. Yeah. And again, as I mentioned earlier too, like it shouldn't fall on other people. It should fall on us. Like,
yes, be mindful, we're all responsible.
Also, you know, I don't know. Side note, feeling less defensive when somebody calls you on your shit, even if you didn't mean to do it, this has been a real lesson for me. I said on this episode with Jules, but when her and Joss and others reached out to me and said, you know, it'd be really great if you had a woman's perspective on this, not just a bunch of dudes, my first reaction was to be defensive and say, well, wait a minute, I'm on your side here. I'm not, you know, that was my first instinct. So if I have advice, it would be try to fight your first instincts sometimes, because sometimes they're just wrong. I'm not saying all of them are. If there's a giant bear behind you and your instinct is to run, maybe run from the bear. I'm not saying change all your instincts, but sometimes our self-defensiveness just gets us into a corner. And if you're real hardcore about it, you'll never get out of that corner and you'll never see anything wrong with what you're doing. So,
Yeah. And this does not go for the email that was mentioned a lot earlier in the episode, but just being willing to have a conversation, be willing to listen and talk.
Yes.
Because I know Joss, I'm not as close with Jules, but they're willing to have a dialogue. They want to talk to you. They don't just want to lecture you.
Right. And be willing to do that for others too.
But also sometimes you might need a lecture.
If you want to talk, I mean, sometimes if people want to just talk to me and say, hey, I have a difference of opinion on something, I would love it if they would just reach out in that regard. But instead, they send things like get woke, go broke. And they think because their funny rhyme is so funny, that's all I have to say. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm freaking done with that across the board. I'm not doing it anymore. If you want to have a real conversation, always open, always, forever.
Well, to try and tie a bow on this kind of meta content creation conversation we're having. It's like, your talk with Jules went to all of these places, but I've also seen a lot of conversation around it in the podcast community this week. It's like, well, I'm afraid to ask someone to come on, cause I don't want them to feel like I'm like, hey, come on and relive a bunch of trauma or whatever. But there's also like, there is that. And yeah, be respectful of that. And don't try and force people to come on that don't want to come on. But also, if someone reaches out to you, like, be receptive.
Yeah. Not only that, but don't always assume your assumptions are right. Like, one of the mistakes I've made here recently is finding out that somebody, a woman, who I thought years ago about asking to come on the show. I didn't do it. Why? Didn't mean I didn't like them. It didn't mean I was worried about who they were or any of that. It was because I thought they would say no because I was putting too much pressure on them or something. And so I didn't do it because it was the easier thing to do. I did the easier thing. And we all do it. It's okay to admit it. But maybe once in a while, do not the thing that's easy. Or instead of making that assumption, like reach out and like have a conversation.
The big problem is you don't know what the thing that's easy is.
Right? You don't know until you do it.
But you know... About being defensive, I think a lot of this, something that might get lost in all of our, you know, we're talking a lot about, like, we're three white dudes and we're trying to get through, like, to work through all of this. And it's not going to be, obviously, it's not going to be perfect. But also, it takes time. I really believe in redemption. I think for most people, not everyone, I think redemption is possible. But even if you're not like you didn't do anything horrible, it will take time to understand what that is. The first time someone is going to tell you, you might be very defensive. And maybe you hear it from somewhere else about someone else. And maybe you hear it a second time about yourself. And the second time you might be, you know, you're more familiar with the idea. And so you're a little bit more open to it. But I think it's we have to fight the instinct of being defensive, as you've said, but also understand that that's how people react when they're being called on their shit. And it might, and that's why, you know, it takes real change takes so much time. I'm losing my logic here, but what I'm trying to say is, you're going to be defensive, and that's normal. And I am defensive all the time about a lot of things. And it takes a little bit of time and understand that reaction and you know, work through it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying. What I'm trying to say is you shouldn't think take everything on the chin and just like, you shouldn't be defensive because that's being an asshole. Like, it's natural to be defensive, I think, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay to feel these things. Just keep at it. All right. So speaking of like actual rubber to the road, I talked about it earlier. I'm going to talk about it now real quick. So I have a couple of ways I deal with things in this life. I talk a lot, as you can tell. I get on podcasts and I blab about everything and everything all the time on various shows. I think I produce 8 of them now. People are probably sick of hearing my voice, but that's one of my outlets. My other outlet is putting pen to paper and creating art. And I've done it my whole life. And sometimes it's the only place I can actually articulate how I'm feeling personally about something. And so I did this drawing the other day of a shattered hearthstone on the ground, because that's how it feels to me. I called it No Way Home. No relation to the Spider-Man movies. But I called it No Way Home. And the concept is, I don't know if I can get back to the inn after this. I don't know if I can go back home to Blizzard after this. It doesn't mean it can't be mended, can't be glued, whatever. Anyway, this is where my head was from an artistic standpoint. And I did it for me and was very hesitant to put it anywhere. And I even said on Twitter, I said, I drew this thing, but I feel like maybe it'll be seen as spiteful. I don't mean it that way. I may not show it. I don't know, or whatever I wrote. People were like, well, let's see it. I want to see it. I put it up. I did not expect this, but it ended up going a little nuts on Twitter, a little nuts on Reddit, a little nuts on Facebook, to the point that people are like, hey, you should sell this on something. This is how we're all feeling. And I don't want a penny for any of this stuff ever. I don't want this to be anything to do with generating any revenue. It was just a way for me to kind of cut my heart out and lay it down and show everybody how I, in particular, was feeling. Turns out other people see it as a symbol of how they're feeling. And I understand that, and that's great. But I'm not going to do that. Then some suggested, hey, Scott, why don't you make this available as an item that we can get and get merch for it, but have the proceeds go to one of these causes that the Blizzard Walkout mentioned and others have mentioned in and around this situation. Things like Black Girls Code or Futures Without Violence or Girls Who Code or Rain or any of these. So I made a decision. This is actually a place I can make a difference. There was enough interest in this that I think it would actually do really well, and we would create a pretty strong charity donation for some or maybe all of these groups. I don't know. I'm still working on kind of what's the best way to do that, or deciding which charity is the most, where the money should go. It's kind of a weird thing to try to make a decision. It's trying to pick your favorite kid, I guess, or whatever. But we'll do some more research on that. But in the coming days, we're going to make this available. It might be a shirt or a print or a sticker, or maybe a pin. I don't know yet. And if anybody wants it, we'll... Chad, I'll show it to you. We'll send it to anybody who pays, and all the money, all of it, every single penny, and I will have this completely transparent. You will see the sheets without people's names, of course, but you will see my accounting on this, because I want nothing to do with any money for this or impropriety around it at all. I will show where that money went. And the community's kind of already helping me suss through who would be the best recipient. And I just want to do the most good possible in this sphere. So, discrimination against women at work, specifically in gaming, that feels like a place to maybe focus this. That's why I'm leaning toward Black Girls Code or Rain. But anyway, watch for it in the next couple of days. Obviously a thing you don't have to do, but it's all I've been able to come up with so far, where I can actually put my money where my mouth is. So I'm doing this. And if you want one, great. We'll make sure you're aware of where it goes. And 100% of the profit on this goes to these charities. So wanted people to be aware of that. Keep an eye on our Twitter account and other stuff, and we'll let you know when that stuff goes live if you want it. Anything else anyone has they want to get off their chest before we end this?
Not really. I've been very quiet this episode because I feel I've said my piece other places.
Yeah, and I feel you.
Yeah, I'm just tired. And I guess I'll take this as the time to say, like, when we get back to just shooting the shit about games, that doesn't mean we're not still keeping our eye on this and we're not still concerned.
Oh, hell no. Like I said, it'll be, I suspect it'll be a thread moving forward in that when things arise, we are going to talk about them and less of a, wow, did you hear what happened? What a shock. We're not doing that anymore. We're going to get right to the brass tacks and talk about what you can do to make a difference, that sort of stuff. So yeah, we will, like, we love video games. We're going to get into it. The Instance 2.0, everyone keeps calling it, is a thing. I'm excited about it. I'm stoked. We're pulling the camera out. We're going new places. The timing couldn't have been weirder, but it happened. So we're going to run with it, and it's going to be great. And all of that stuff's going to be there. This isn't going to be the show where you tune in and get this every week. You know, you've got three episodes in a row, two technically, and then a bonus. But I think that last one was as good as anything we've ever done. So it's a lot. I know it's a lot. And I want to thank people who have listened to all of this. Okay. I really do. Cause I know that this is hard. It's hard to face. If you were a little bit on the fence of this is all much ado about nothing, you probably are a little irritated, but you still did it. We're hearing from some of you saying, man, I really had to challenge my assumptions. I appreciate you guys doing that. If we've done a little bit of good in that way, then great, but there's more to do and we'll do it here and we'll do it across the network. We'll do it in everything I do here. We'll do it in, you know, I know these guys have the same interest in all the work they're doing that's separate from this. And I know it's not a lot right now. Patrick's right. This stuff takes time. Like, my little charity thing is, that's fine, but I also know that it's not the solution, but it can make it.
I would like to add that I think it's a good example of doing what you can based on who you are in the plan, like what you do, Scott. You make art, this is your platform. And I think if you at home listening to this, if you can't make art, cool. Well, what can you do?
Yeah, I don't know what else
to do. Can you help someone at work? Can you mentor somebody?
Yeah. I really don't know what else to do. There have been times. I had a dream the other night that a bunch of us were at Blizzard stopping things from happening. It was a very weird dream, and it felt nice and heroic while I was in it, but we can't actually do that, it turns out. We can't go back in time. We can't, you know, we can't see certain people for what they were and then report them. You know, we just have what we've been given. And
That's why I keep coming back to what can I do?
Yeah.
You just keep asking yourself that question.
Yeah. And if Blizzard wants that stone put back together, they got a lot of work ahead of them, because right now I can't do it. All right. Patrick, anything else you want to add?
Just, you know, as we've been saying, I really think it's important to realize that we all have a small part, at least role to big part in this, all of us, even if we don't think we do. I truly believe that. And if you're on Twitter or, I don't know, Instagram or wherever you hang out on the internet, go follow women. You have a lot of them being retweeted, or they appear in your feed, and follow them, not just for following them now, but just to have that in your field of view in the future. And yeah,
I think that's well said. Well, I appreciate both of you. I'm grateful for your friendships and for the sense of solidarity I feel with a lot of my male friends who are seeing this for what it is and trying to make real change. I'm very grateful for the women in our lives, specifically those in our community and those within Blizzard who've either endured this or know exactly what's been going on, and we haven't been listening very well. To all of you, I really appreciate you listening today. We'll be back to a semi-regular style show next week, and I look forward to that very much. If you have thoughts and feelings, send us your feedback. We'd love to take it. It's over at theinstance@gmail.com. That'll be it for us. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.